Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversations podcast, a podcast about having easy conversations, where we talk about mental health, adversity, spirituality, and societal issues. I'm your host, Furkan Dandia. And join me in this week's enlightening episode where I welcome Caitlin Lemon, the founder of Quantum Clinic. In this episode, Caitlin shares her journey of co-founding Quantum Clinic and the world of quantum healing and the remarkable impact it has had on her clients' lives. Quantum Clinic is a model of preventative care for the mind, body, spirit, and soul. It has combined elements in biofeedback training, flotation REST, frequency therapy, and expressive arts to facilitate a deeply relaxing and restorative experience. Dr. Lemon's background is in clinical and multicultural community psychology. She has worked in private practice and community mental health since 2009. Dr. Lemon's clinical experience ranges from business executives, immigrants seeking asylum, and persons exiting the incarceration system, to those with serious mental illness, addictions, and victims of trauma and medical malpractice. I hope you really get a lot out of this episode, and if you could leave a 5-star review or comments in the comments section, I would truly appreciate it. And a brief word for our sponsors. So I would like to talk about deodorants because I'm tired of constantly replenishing my deodorant and then having to worry about disposing those plastic containers. There's a solution for that. Wild. Wild provides a eco-friendly, all-natural deodorant with a sustainable design. They provide a for-life aluminum case. For me, they sent me a personalized case with my name on it. And did I mention you can customize your orders and have these refills delivered straight to your door? This is an all-natural solution where there's no aluminum in the product, just in the case. Go to wearewild.com and use code EASY at checkout for 25% off your first order. All right, Caitlin, welcome to the Easy Conversations podcast. Thank you for joining me today on this beautiful summer morning. Really excited to connect with you again and have this conversation. But before we jump into it, I do want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to the listeners and share with us a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do and what's brought you here today.
Yeah, well, first off, thank you, Furkan, for having me. It's really my honor, and I'm very grateful to be having this conversation. So my name is Dr. Caitlin Lehman. I live in sunny Southern California in Los Angeles, which is the city that I've called home since 2009.
Yeah.
It was here that I completed a PhD program in clinical psychology and multicultural community psychology. And I've been working mostly in Los Angeles County with various mental health populations, but also in Mexico City. I also have done some work in nonprofit fundraising and development and environmental education and sustainability initiatives. So for your listeners, I mean, it's kind of it's pretty fair to say that I'm a California gal.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Went through.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, and then I guess in terms of speaking of that being California gal, you've got your own clinic that you co-founded, and that's called Quantum Clinic. But I do want to understand what the clinic's all about and the work you guys are doing there. And I'm very curious in terms of considering your educational background in clinical psychology and why you were able to focus on a holistic
approach. Yeah, how I made the switch to this new model of preventative wellness.
Yeah, exactly.
Quantum Clinic, we call it Quantum Clinic, a spa treatment for your DNA. If anybody's ever heard of flotation therapy or sensory deprivation, that is our primary service. Mm-hmm. What we've done differently, and the reason I did this, you know, with my background in clinical psychology is, you know, it's really important how we hold space for one another. When you're going into an environment that intentionally reduces the environmental stimulus by minimizing light and noise distractions, it's really important that an individual, no matter their clinical presentation, be they a little bit more anxiously predisposed, a little bit more depressed or low energy, lacking motivation. We also work with a lot of trauma survivors here. Mm. So we're essentially using the flotation therapy. And again, we've added in a layer of what's called frequency therapy. So we're using sound as well, to an overall protocol that involves a little bit of education in, you know, biofeedback methods to connect mm-hmm. the heart and the brain, and to enter into what's called a state of coherence. So essentially, I took my background in clinical psychology and as a researcher, and also through my own life practices, spiritual practices, mind-body practices, and essentially developed a new model of preventative care for the whole mind, body, spirit, and soul. Though we're not offering traditional cognitive talk therapy or psychodynamic oriented talk therapy, we have very intentionally woven in our background as therapists to the experience to facilitate a process that is deeply healing for people. Mm-hmm. And that's the fun of it, right? We're situated right here on the beautiful historic Los Angeles River. It's a great place to come to work every day. And you know, I'm just very grateful to be doing this work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing all that. And I'm just curious because, you know, as I was sharing with you offline, but when I'm working with clients, there's a lot coming up for them, right? That they won't need to be able to speak through or just even articulate. And then there's obviously this aspect of finding meaning in terms of the experience or the adversity they're going through. Now, in what you've explained thus far, like, is there an opportunity for the clients to then, you know, if something's coming up for them to be able to talk through
absolutely.
That? And how are you bridging that gap then with all of it, right? How is it all integrated?
Yeah, sure. So we have all of our clinical staff. So these are people with master's or doctoral level degrees who interface with our clients when they come through here. We also have operational staff, but you know, when you come to Quantum Clinic, you're going to be greeted by somebody who's highly trained and educated and capable of meeting you in a trauma-informed, person-centered way, no matter what's coming up for you. Following your service, which is the flotation rest with frequency therapy or our scalar upgrade, we do have a beautiful, what we've termed the Expressive Arts Lounge. And this is a space where we've curated some semi-structured integration prompts. So using either a body map or collage or sand tray even or clay, we encourage people to take their energetic experience, their what we call SIFT, right? Sensations, images, feelings, or thoughts. And if you know, the reason we called our business Quantum Clinic is because, you know, we are that, you are it, right? So at the quantum level, what arises within us manifests in the form of sensations, images, feelings, or thoughts. Right. So we then give people a very intentional, relaxing space to deepen their integration and take any content that may have come up for them during the treatment or the service, rather. And our clinicians are available in the event that anybody wants to speak it out or talk it out or move it out. Mm-hmm. Again, there's definitely, and I know this to be true for myself, when I was first entering the field, there's this very subtle belief and assumption that as a therapist, it is my job to facilitate a healing for someone else, right? Or a repair for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, as I began to really work, again, in a variety of clinical populations here in Los Angeles County, from forensic populations, people exiting the incarceration system,
right.
Severe mental illness in community mental health settings, people in the childcare and foster care system. So I've really worked with a very big range of clinical populations. And what I realized in doing so is that actually I am powerless to affect change in their lives because there are so many confounding factors, including economic factors, including educational factors, including, cultural barriers, access related issues, that those issues are actually more central to mm-hmm. their mental stress than any type of therapeutic intervention that I was capable of facilitating for them.
Right.
So to be fair, I'm not working with, we're not working with such an acute population any longer. We're working more with, people who can afford $100 for a massage. They can afford $100 for a, flotation rest with frequency therapy.
Yeah.
So it's a different level. It's a different type of client. But we do get a lot of people who want to process. And then we get a lot of people who come in and just bring their journal and they're able to sort of self-soothe, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really the big shift that I wanted to model with this business, is that we can empower you with the skills to regulate that autonomic nervous system and to be facilitating a state of heart-brain coherence, give you the space to practice it and a space to integrate it. But we can't actually hold your hand and follow you home and make you do it in the rest of your life,
right?
So we're essentially a space, a companion on the journey for people to come and use our services whenever and however frequently they would like. But we're not really in the business of treating mental disease.
Mm.
We're more so in the space of providing that sort of systemic preventative care structure to help with, overall health and human functioning.
Okay. Yeah, no, and I appreciate that distinction because that's so important. So, and I guess for me, that resonates too on a preventative level, because there is that importance of regulating our autonomic nervous system, because a lot of the times we're basically just running on autopilot and we're not doing that preventative care. And I think it's so important. Yeah. And one thing that really jumped out to me that you mentioned was the integration, right? So not only are you doing the preventative work, you're then integrating what's coming up for you. And a lot of people I find aren't able to make that connection or find that meaning. What do you find in terms of the people that do come or the clients that do come in? How is that integration process? And obviously it varies from person to person, but on a generic level, what does that look like? Because that's where I see a lot of the times people get stuck, is in the ability to integrate.
Yeah, for sure. And I would say you're right. It does vary person to person, couple to couple, right? But what we've done in the back is curate these using a model called person-centered expressive arts therapy. So this was developed by the daughter of Carl Rogers, who's the famous humanistic psychologist. His daughter's name was Dr. Natalie Rogers. My mother was actually a protege of hers, and I also studied under Natalie and in that lineage of person-centered expressive arts therapists.
Right.
So we've taken these because we often equate integration with a completion or culmination of something. But really what it is it's about broadening and building our self-concept and beginning to make a structural shift in how we view ourselves as not only embodied, beings on this planet, but, essentially cosmic events in human form, right? Like the big structural shift that we're attempting to facilitate for people is to begin to attune to more of an energetic awareness of their whole mind-body system, right? As essentially, we are just the manifestation of electromagnetic information in the unified field. And so we have stories and experiences that provide us with the foundation and the basis for our self-construct. And those are important. That's what makes us us. That's what make my story is what makes me me. Your story is what makes you you. And so what we've attempted to do in the Expressive Arts Lounge is create a set of questions that facilitates an opening or a broadening and building of one's self-awareness or story, right? So these are open-ended STEM questions, like creating from the STEM, I see, I remember, I feel. Use color to put color on the page, right? And it's a body map, right? So we get people who have very profound energetic experiences in this space. And the content of the SIFT, the sensations, images, feelings, or thoughts, is often presented in such a way that does not translate itself well to words right away. So we've created this protocol, if you will, that allows for an exploration of that. And then, we invite them to flip the page over and do a little journaling, right? Things like that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree, the integration piece is important. And that's, it's kind of one of the things that sets our facility apart from other spaces who are offering similar services.
Yeah. And absolutely. And I think, I was doing another episode just earlier this morning, and the question came up around, okay, well, what, I guess for me, what was my turning point, or how was I able to step into this space of acceptance? Right. And I think, as you were talking about the whole integration piece, I think that's really what that was for me, was being able to integrate by being able to see all my experiences, as you mentioned. Because all those experiences are unique, but then not having that judgment, right? I think there's a lot of judgment when we put on ourselves for how we showed up or how we invited these experiences into our lives. And until we're not able to make peace with them and fully integrate them, it's tough for us to move forward, because then a lot of that same narrative continues to repeat itself until we've sat there. And I think journaling is an excellent way of integrating, but there's other ways. I think, mindfulness, definitely there's different forms in that too. But until you're not really in a position to, as you mentioned, attune and accept without judgment, you can't really integrate. And without integration, you can't really move forward.
Yeah. And what I would say, and again, like this is, first of all, yes, like amen, yes, let's do more of that, right? Yeah. The world needs more acceptance. We need more, non-judgmentalism as a core value. We need more unconditional love and positive regard for one another and our lived experience.
Yeah.
And the piece that for me, as someone who approaches life to give it a contemporary philosophical name, from more of a Zen perspective, it's like there's what you just described, that is life.
Right.
Like we are always, always somewhere in the journey, vacillating between these poles, these experiences that arise as a natural part of the human experience. So where are the parts of myself that I'm not fully accepting, and can I lean into them a little bit more? That dance is the essence of what makes us human. It's the essence of what brings vitality and joy and creativity and, it's the juicy stuff,
yeah,
right? That process of discovery, if you will, is what we need more of.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when I started Quantum Clinic, I just, you know, said, look, you know, how do I want to spend my day?
Right.
Right. I have a young toddler and, you know, life is life. And so, yeah, you know, I wanted a place that was consistent where I could show up. And I knew that no matter what, my day would always look different and that I would be engaged in holding space for people to themselves,
mm-hmm,
enter into the process of self-discovery.
Yeah.
Of the process of integration, of the process of you know, creation, that is, you know, what life's all about.
Mm-hmm.
For me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you. And, you know, you referred to the, because, I mean, Carl Rogers basically talked about the whole unconditional positive regard, right? And I see the impact that positive regard unconditionally has on the clients I work with, right? Because often, yes, they're just looking for an opportunity to be seen and heard without judgment. And a lot of the times we don't have that, right? And once they can find that, it's amazing to see the impact it has. But then for me, I've also realized, like, you know, as a therapist, I am giving it to others, but I should also be giving it to myself. And that's been part of my journey over the last couple of years, and that's where that whole integration piece becomes so much easier and
yeah,
powerful.
Yeah.
The other piece you talked about was your own spiritual practice, and one of the things I've researched and truly believe, because it's something I've embodied in my own life, is I think you referred to it as well on your website, is this whole body, mind, spirit, soul connection, right? And
yes,
so powerful, especially from a mental health perspective. And I truly see that, like I said, for myself, but even a lot of the clients I work with. Why is that something that is important for you? And how have you been able to come to that conclusion?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think in order to begin to unpack that, we have to acknowledge that in the field of psychology, there's a real bias against,
yeah,
involving spirituality and, yes, the notion of soul embodiment in the field, right? There's this, you know, not ever, I mean, the Jungians, of course, they're fully in it,
yeah,
right? And to a degree, the psychoanalysis, the more analytic traditions to a degree,
right.
And certainly, you know, I'm the daughter of two transpersonal psychologists, and that whole field, that transpersonal psychology, Ken Wilber, all of these,
yeah,
you know, there are many, 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 you know, Rick Hansen, you know, even Dan Siegel, right?
Yeah.
The interpersonal neurobiology stuff that's coming through now definitely is more accepting, mm-hmm, and embracing of the fullness of the human experience, which includes having a spiritual life,
right?
Having a soul journey to go on, you know,
right,
like otherwise, like, why are we here? Like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it's like, it's the air that I breathe, right? It's like, if, you know, a fish doesn't know it's in water, well, until it develops the awareness that it's in water, you know, it's, and my life has been about that. I went to a school, a Waldorf school growing up, that specifically, talked about, it was rooted in the philosophy of Rudolf Steiner and anthroposophy, right? Which is all about spirituality and the,
yeah,
soul. And, so that's just kind of a part of my inner milieu, and a part of my journey. And I used to not speak so forwardly about that,
yeah,
because I felt it to be less relevant We live in a culture and a society and a world that says you're really only as valuable as that which you produce, writ large, and so I, for a period of time, a very long period of time, conformed to that notion that I was really only as valuable as that which I was able to produce and achieve. I think it's only 1 to 2% of the global population that actually earns a doctorate. And so, right. I've done it. Or start a business, right? So I'm not foreign to that world, but it's also accepting that we are innately, by virtue of our very existence, valuable and worthy and capable. And, fuck what society says about, but again, that's the judgment piece that, right. that creeps in.
Yeah, for sure. And, I think it's important to note that, to your point, that because at some point psychology almost became a science, they lost sight of the spiritual or the soul side of it. And I think that's where a lot of people struggle with. Because
father of modern psychology, William James, right? Like he was, I think it's William James. I'm going to have to Google that later. What was very spiritual, like all of these people who founded, who started thinking to themselves, we should start more systematically understanding the inner realm, mm-hmm. right? They were deeply spiritual individuals. And if you read some of their writings, it's clear to see that. But to your point, yes, the scientific method, right? This belief that we have to have a double blind study to empirically validate and prove the utility of a particular intervention, is in my opinion, this whack ass backwards way of thinking about health and human functioning. If you're, in the academic rat race and your entire goal is to accumulate publications, go for it. Do more of those studies. Please sign us up. Come to Quantum Clinic. If you're an academic listening to this, you'd like to do an empirically validated study on our intervention, I'm happy to facilitate that. But, there's a difference between studying something and being it.
Right.
And that's an important distinction.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And coming back to Quantum Clinic, I'm very intrigued about the whole flotation piece because, I've tried that, but I haven't been able to, personally, it's been a while, but I haven't been able to make that connection, especially when we were talking about integrating those parts of ourselves. Why was this such an important thing for you to include in the clinic and what makes it different than other forms of preventative care for people?
Yeah, well, to be fair, my business was started by virtue through space and place, right? Yeah. I often say, and I have come to understand that space-time itself is the central organizing feature of all development. And so I found myself here in this room that I'm in.
Yeah.
At the time, also enrolled in a business analytics program at Harvard. And the larger space, which is our spa, became available for lease.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing an economic, calculation of what types of services could we reasonably offer? What would be needed in order for it to be a successful and thriving business model?
Right.
And I use my background as a researcher to look into, what is available? What is the realm of possibility for existing empirically validated treatments or interventions that are known to support psychological and human functioning, and flotation therapy is one of them. Flotation therapy has been around since the 1950s, though the technology and the spaces themselves have improved quite a bit since that time. A lot of people are often fearful that it's like this dark, cavernous, creepy place to go in. you know, our tanks are actually really luxurious. They're 7 feet in length by 7 feet in height.
Mm-hmm.
It has a foot and a half of water,
right.
Salinated water, has over 1,500 pounds of Epsom salt. So it's so, the salinity of the water is so high by comparison to our bodies that when you get in there, you have no choice but to float. Like you
right.
literally cannot sink. As a matter of fact, we have people who fall asleep in our tanks regularly,
yeah.
Which we find to be just wonderful. Sometimes, right. though, it's a little awkward to be banging on the door. So what this does is it has the effect of alleviating approximately 90% of the effect of gravity on the body.
Mm-hmm.
So the neuromuscular structure along the neck and spine is able to fully surrender in a way that's unlike pretty much any other service on the market. For people dealing with chronic pain, arthritis, fibromyalgia pain, any other sort of chronic inflammatory pain response, it can be really supportive in allowing for a little bit more mobility in the muscles, in the joints, hips, back, et cetera. So that's an important part of it,
right?
Is the alleviation of the negative thing, right? Mm-hmm. Which a lot of people come to us who are dealing with pain.
Yeah.
But also from the psychogenic perspective, you know, when you reduce the environmental stimulus and you're entering into kind of a softly lit, you know, we have low red light, or you could turn it off and be in complete darkness space. And again, we do play frequency protocols. So in our service, you get about 30 different frequencies. These are rife frequencies known to support stress reduction, relaxation, activation of the subtle energetic system, so all of the chakras,
mm-hmm.
and then what are called solfeggio tones or source frequencies. So those sounds also kind of like from the inside out, we're working with the heart to facilitate that coherence inwardly facing, you know, and then from the outside in, working with sound to create a oscillatory patterning that is more associated with stress reduction,
right.
and relaxation. And that, if you're familiar with kind of like Eastern philosophical traditions, we're essentially facilitating the process of samadhi, of that full surrender,
yeah.
and release. And when you're in a place of receivership and surrender, you're able to receive, you know, information that can then take you further on your healing journey.
Mm.
And that's the whole idea behind what we're doing. And
right.
People seem to really love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could definitely see that for sure. And it's funny, you know, part of surrendering is this whole notion of letting go. Right. And a lot of people I've talked about when they go for these floats or into these flotation, I don't know what the tanks are called. I think pods,
yeah.
they have a name or whatever.
Tanks or chambers. Yeah.
Yeah,
pods. Pods. We don't have pods.
Okay. Yeah. So I think a lot of people struggle with that because it is not something we're used to, this whole notion of just
totally.
Letting go and floating around. I've been able to get to that point, and that's when I was able to fall asleep. But a lot of people struggle with that. And it comes back to that notion of letting go, right?
Right.
And it's not only a physical surrendering, it's mental too, right? And
right.
I find that fascinating. What are your thoughts around that? Because I could see a lot of people really struggling, right? And I've spoken to many people about it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You're totally right. I mean, but isn't that sort of endemic?
Yeah.
In our society, it's like we can't let go. You know, and myself included.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
I was talking to, you know, I for sure do the dance between grasping, clinging, and letting go. But that's part of it, right? So, you know, one of the ways in which we work to support the letting go process is that every person who comes through Quantum Clinic, we, at the beginning of the service, do a very intentional heart-brain coherence meditation.
Yeah.
So we do a brief body scan. And we we get ourselves in a state of receivership and surrender prior to even entering the room where you shower before and after your service.
Okay.
So there's a whole lot of intentionality to the pre and the post here at Boston Clinic. And that's one of the things that sets us apart from other flotation facilities.
Right.
Is that we're very intentional about working with individuals to achieve that shift inside of themselves before they even go in. Because there is often some anxiety around A, it being a new type of experience. B, what am I supposed to do in here? Right? Like, it's like, what do you do when you're floating?
Yeah.
Well, we've answered that question for you. We encourage you to focus on the energetic center of your heart, activate a positive or life-affirming emotion, and imagine that energy radiating outwards. That is what we want you to do with your mind and your awareness, is bring that energetic or sensory awareness from up here, bring it into the heart, and focus on that energy and move that energy and allow it to just guide you.
Right.
And again, you know, people will get pulled back into, you know, whatever the story is, right? And that's okay. We expect that. And we often, you know, as I mentioned, we're here along the river. So we involve the river in that discussion, right? At the meditation at the beginning. If you get carried away in your thoughts, just allow them to go down the river, you know, because we want people to be remembering where they are, right? During the experience.
Yeah.
People can astral plane or astral project if they so choose, but we focus more on the embodiment side here.
For sure. Yeah. And I think it's great that you guys do that pre-work, as you mentioned, like as far as the meditative practice goes, because that is so important in having that focus during the float. It's important to have that practice beforehand. But to your point, it is that ability to not get attached to our thoughts. And I think, you know, as we talked about earlier, there is a lot of judgment that comes from that too, where if we're trying to meditate or if we're trying to sit in stillness and these thoughts keep coming in, there's a lot of judgment around, I'm not doing it right, or I'll never get it right. And this is so hard and I have so many thoughts and I'm, you know, I can't focus. And your point, I think it's just recognizing that these thoughts are just passing by and they're not who we are.
Well, that's the monkey mind. I mean, that's just what it is. That's what the mind does. It's a misconception that the objective of meditation should be to silence the mind.
Yeah.
You know, yes, when you're able to really achieve deep, deep states of transcendental awareness, there is a stillness.
Mm-hmm.
There is a quieting. And a relinquishing of, you enter into a place where time and space do not exist.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that thoughts don't still come in. You're just not attached to them in the same way. And again, that because our operating model is not about, you know, there being a treatment for anything. It's just a supportive, preventative care space, right?
Yeah.
Something that we know helps, you know, reset one's ability to tolerate distress in your daily life, right?
For sure.
When you're in a state of heart brain coherence, your vibratory frequency, your energetic frequency is essentially the same as our planetary frequency. Like there's a resonance effect. You're essentially tuning yourself to that electromagnetic information that makes us us. And, you know, I suppose it's no surprise that as beings embodied, incarnated on planet Earth, we would sort of have a resonance akin to that of the planet from where we come, right?
Right.
But you know, so that makes like very intuitive sense. But the practice of getting into that, and being aware of that, that's the big structural shift. Because again, you're never gonna be 100% of the time, 100% of the day, you know, in a state of coherence. You're constantly back and forth, and that's flexibility. That's right. Good. But if you can, with greater ease and regularity, when you notice you're in a state of fight or flight or stress or anxiety or whatever it may be, if you can become more adept at shifting into a coherent state,
then
you're engaging with your environment in a more lateral way. You basically take the horse blinders off.
Right.
And so those are the skills that we're really coaching people in here. Those are the tools that, you know, we've found to be beneficial in our lives, mm-hmm. and ones that we endorse.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important you continue to stress the importance of coherence, because that's where a lot of people often get stuck, right? They're not able to have that coherence.
Yeah. Well, should we define that? Because I think, you know, there's lots of, I often do an exercise with people when I have my groups, like fundamentals of coherence, what is it, right? Where we throw adjectives up on a board, and people often will come up with synonyms for it, which are like harmony, congruence, like an alignment. Yes. Right. All of that. But coherence, depending on the field of study, can mean slightly different things. In physics, it actually refers to a degree of correlation in the electromagnetic field of a region, right? So we're talking about heart-brain coherence. We're talking about an embodied coherent pattern within us.
Right.
Right. So when you're able to connect with that energetic center of the heart and use it to guide what's called vagal afferent traffic. There's actually more afferent pathways from the heart to the brain than there are from brain to the heart, right? Mm. So it's allowing for a resetting of baroreceptor activity in the brain by intentionally, with our awareness, bringing that awareness into the energetic center of the heart. You're actually activating hundreds of biomarkers within the body mind that are releasing those positive, you know, life-affirming neurochemical signals, right? And the heart communicates with the brain neurochemically, neurobiologically, neuroenergetically, and neurophysically. I think like four different ways. I could be wrong about that. But so what's happening is you're using not just the muscle of your heart, right, which we think, you know, is obviously very important, but the spiritual energy of your heart, if you will, to shift your entire being,
right,
from stress into coherence. And the heart is the largest generator of electromagnetic information. It generates approximately, it's like 5 to 1 in terms of the amount of electromagnetic information than the brain. So magnetically, it's like 5 times more than the brain, and electrically, it's, you know, 5 to 1 is the ratio.
Right.
I always forget if it's like, I think it's like 5,000 to 100, but it doesn't matter.
Maybe 5 there, right?
Because again, you know, you can, there's a difference between the academic study of something and the embodiment practice.
Absolutely.
Right? And so that's what we're really working on here with people.
Yeah. No, and I appreciate you breaking that down. And I know you referred to Dr. Dan Siegel earlier. And he explains it. And for me, it's almost like a visual in terms of when I think about coherence. But he talks about the extremes. He talks about one end, you've got the chaos, and then on the other end, you've got too much rigidity, right? So it's finding that balance in the middle, which I equate to that coherence, right? How are you able to take your environment and not be controlled by it, as you mentioned, but using that information to kind of flow around it, or, you know, it make find that balance where you're not getting pulled in either direction, whether it's chaos or that rigidity.
Yeah. Look, I love Dan's work. He's also here in Southern California at UCLA at the Mindsight Institute. I've read a lot of his books.
Yeah.
He's a really brilliant researcher. I can't say enough positive things about Dr. Dan Siegel.
Yeah.
For me, you know, one of the reasons we chose to use biofeedback sensors from the HeartMath Institute or HeartMath is that it actually shows you the shift, right? Because coherence can be measured as a power ratio of heart rate variability. So we're putting little Bluetooth biofeedback sensors on people at the beginning in the meditation. We're actually witnessing as we're going through this practice, this meditative practice, we're witnessing the shift from the staccatic up and down kind of irregular stress like frequency patterns into more and more sine like, right? Undulating waves, more regularity in the power ratio of heart rate variability that is called coherence, right? And that, you know, the research coming out of the HeartMath Institute is showing that that can actually be not only measured, but felt and experienced, you know, a number of feet away from one another. And if you want to take it to the next level, you know, the Nobel Prize this past year went to the physicists, the team that, you know, basically disproved the existence of a true objective local reality, right? So non-locality, you know, we can, you and I are sensing and feeling into one another's field currently, even though you're up in Canada and I'm down here in Southern California through the power of our attention, awareness, and imagination, we are connecting with one another at great distance.
Right.
And that sort of is the, you know, if you're looking a little bit more to the fringes of the wellness spectrum, you can talk about non-local healings, remote distance healings, all of that sort of stuff. So there's this emergent paradigm coming through right now in which we're unifying our understanding of, you know, physics and psychology of okay, we're starting to understand that, you know, it's not just cognitive, that there's actually like a physiological frequency thing that we can begin to play with.
Right.
And what happens when you're spending more and more time in that state as opposed to a stress state? And it's not unidirectional. There's constant feedback occurring at all different scales of analysis. And so that's, you know, part of the fun of what, you know, we're trying out here at Quantum Clinic is getting people to have an embodied experience of that for themselves so that they can, you know, be that in the world.
Yeah, for sure. And I find that whole concept or the construct of the mind very fascinating. And I know we've talked about physics, we've talked about electromagnetic forces and frequency, but so I'm kind of putting this all together, but why the name Quantum Clinic then?
Well, the quantum realm is, you know, now all of a sudden I just got nervous. You know, I'm not a physicist.
Right.
Okay. I'm not. I would never want to, you know, be accused of being one. But hats off to those who are.
Yes.
So it's the quantum realm from a philosophical perspective, from a psychological perspective, is really the inner subjectivity, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's inner subjectivity. And so quantum being this, you know, very finite or minuscule, like it brings you into something being really, really, really infinitesimally small, right? And that's essentially these bits bits of information at the Planck scale, is how I think about it.
Right.
It's kind of like, at least this is how I've heard it talked about, that below the Planck scale, the laws of physics break down. So some physicists are now finding that there is actually a sub-Planckian, bit, if you will. But for us to even comprehend that level of infinitesimally small is really difficult, because we biological life sit at the middle of what's like the Planck and the universal scales.
Right.
So like the think of how infinitely large the universe is.
Yeah.
And how infinitely small the Planck, level of information, the bits of information that make us us must be for us to sit at the middle.
Yeah.
Right. Like the juxtaposition of those things is so, difficult for many people, myself including, to wrap our minds around. It's not something that we can, unless you're a physicist, who writes the equations, right? It's something that even a lot of physicists have a hard time comprehending.
Of course.
But this idea of quantum clinic, again, as practitioners and as like ordinary people, walking around in Los Angeles, quantum clinic refers to our ability to be more attuned to the fullness of our embodied experience of life, right? Mm-hmm. So those sensations, images, feelings, thoughts, what's coming up for us, and how can we be actively engaged in the process of discovery around what that means for our life, and how can we use it to better ourselves and to be, going forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I was just curious.
Oh no, I don't mind. I think I did okay.
Yeah. No, I appreciate the answer, and it definitely makes sense to me. So thank you for sharing that. I want to thank you for coming on here and sharing all this with me and the listeners. So I appreciate that very much. Yeah. Is there anything else you feel like that's a value that you may not have covered, but would be important for the listeners to know about the work you're doing and everything else you've shared?
Oh gosh, no, I think, we've had a really lovely conversation today. Yeah. I'm so grateful for you and for your time and the opportunity to describe a little bit more about what we do at Quantum Clinic.
Yeah.
For anybody who wants to follow along, we're at www.quantumclinic.com. If you're ever in LA, you can book a service directly online. Our Instagram and Facebook handles are at Quantum Clinic USA. And I'm at Dr. Caitlin Lehman. Dr. Caitlin Lehman.
So. Perfect. Well, thank you for sharing all that. I'll definitely put all of that in the show notes for the listeners. But thank you again. I really appreciate this, and I really enjoyed the conversation as well.
Yeah, me as well. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you for checking this episode out with Dr. Lehman. As always, please leave a review or a comments in the comments section. I always love hearing from you. And please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so, and check out our sponsors. That's the best and easiest way to support the podcast. Thank you, and until next week.